out here. Hi there, I should say. Yeah. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Good to have you with us today. Show number 105. And this is January, what, 17th?
17.
2005, believe it or not. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. The host for the show today, Don Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Mr. Tom, how are you on this fine winter afternoon?
Isn't it beautiful outside?
Isn't it?
My goodness gracious, I love it. Don Patterson. A no-show today.
Speak up, Don.
Shame on you, Don.
Mr. Toolman.
Exactly. My name's Tom Houston. Here he is, though, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Park.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you, host Tom. Thank you, engineer Tom Houston.
Boy, oh boy.
It is a pretty day, though. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Yesterday, George and I built a massive doghouse. This sucker is, it took three pieces of OSB to build it.
What dog did you build it for? Not Frankie.
George has got a couple dogs. Jeremy has a dog, and Kimberly has a couple of dogs, and he wants them a nice warm place for them to be outside, and so we built a doghouse, and it was quite a project. It really wouldn't have taken, we wasted some stuff. With George, you got to keep it more slowed down. He'll get an idea and he'll do it before and he's driving there. George, one just a couple of
Did you already have the material and everything, or did you have to go get it?
Well, a tree had fallen and messed up the fence, and he agreed to fix the fence, and somehow in my lumber bill from the Big Ten Barn ended up his OSB and two befores to build his doghouse. Now, I don't know how that happened, but anyway.
I was just wondering, the reason I'm asking all this is I got a doghouse not long ago at Walmart.
Uh-huh.
And, I've got a pretty good sized dog, about 80 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And I bought a plastic one at Walmart for $40-something. I just wondered how much you had tied up in material.
Well, I'd rather not discuss it since you bought that up. Crap, probably, watch a sheet OSB, 14, 15?
Yeah, at least,
15, 30, 45, I probably got $60-$65.
Yeah, that's what I would say,
my goodness.
And it's heavy, it's massive. Luann said, we didn't need a storeroom.
Yeah, it's a gigantic dog.
It is, it's huge, I'll show it to you. And they painted it, I finally just gave up and went to bed.
Well, when something happens to the dogs, you can use it as a storage building. Look at
it. We almost could.
Double purpose.
Anyway, that's what we did all weekend. So my ankles are sore. I can't really stand up. Old men ain't supposed to.
What about these home projects, man? What a deal.
Home projects. But we used all kinds of things. We could use both nail guns and the chop saw and the kill saw and the sawzall.
All right.
Sawzall. Everybody ought to have a sawzall.
Yeah, at least
sawzall?
One.
What's a sawzall?
Sawzall is like a little saber saw, except it has a long. You've seen them, Charles, right?
Yeah,
it has a long blade.
About anything.
Got to be called something else. I've never heard that name.
Sawzall?
Yeah. What's the other name for it, Don? Got to be
reciprocating saw.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Reciprocating
saw. I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Sawzall it's got about three times the length of a blade. So if you wanted to cut a hole in the wall, you drill a hole and stick the sawzall in there, you cut a hole in the wall. And clear through the wall.
Gordon's got one that'll cut nails or anything.
Oh, yeah, they cut through about anything.
Yeah. Depending on what kind of blade, of course, you put in it and all that.
Well, that's a little cheap. He's battery operated, and of course, he ran the battery down, had to charge it. We used every tool known to man that I had out there.
That's good. Exercise these tools a bit, huh?
It is.
They needed that.
So we did it. Patterson.
Speaking of tools,
Patterson
just isn't here and just didn't show today. And we're doing it on a different day. But now we told him that we were doing it on a different day, so he knew it, and Emily knew it. So they just didn't.
Age wise,
memory.
John's a little bit older than I am, and
it's fading. Boy, ain't
Emily
much.
Emily is too, I think.
Yes, in 30 days from now, big fella.
I was trying to forget that.
You're going to be 60, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, my little brother just turned on Elvis's birthday. He turned 57.
Man, I was trying to think. I don't know how I'm going to top my 50th birthday that I did for you. I don't know how I'm going to top that. I haven't figured out yet.
What happened on the big 5-0, or can we talk about that?
No, we can. You don't remember? We were doing Tradio at that time.
Oh, God.
And I had all these kinfolks. You don't remember this, Joe? I guess maybe you weren't up here.
They called while I was doing Tradio, yeah.
They all called while we were doing while he was doing tradio.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Jackie called and Cheryl called and everybody but Gordon, I think, called.
Gordon and Rufus.
Gordon and Rufus didn't call.
They don't do that kind of thing.
Gordon called later.
Gordon would have, though.
Gordon called later. He forgot they got busy doing a job or something and forgot. But Jackie and Cheryl and Mary Jane called and Faye called and
Thomas, what are all these
Thomas
folks
overwhelmed
doing calling
today? I was saying, good morning, Tradio. What can I do for you?
And he would say, hi, I'm your sister Faye. And it was cool. It was really cool. We've got a tape of it somewhere that we need to dub the CD.
I do have it. I really and truly do.
We need to dub that to good, to
yeah,
good quality
need to
CD.
Get that put on disc.
But I had no idea they were calling. That was the whole thing.
Yeah. He had no idea. He was good. Doing trade. So I sat in the living room taping it. I don't know what I'm going to do to top that. I thought of a couple of things, which I'll tell you about later, Mr. Shaw. That we
okay.
Do
yeah.
this, boy. 60's a pretty kind of a big
yeah,
deal.
6-0, man.
6-0.
Hell of a thing, isn't it, Tom?
It's a big deal.
Well, you know, I don't know. At 59, I don't really worry about it. I don't really.
You can't worry about being 60.
Nothing you can do about it.
It doesn't bother me at all,
nothing.
Really.
If you live long enough, you'll get there.
I guarantee. If I make it till the 16th of next month, I'll say, ha, ha, ha.
What did Willie say? There's nothing I can do about it now.
Exactly.
You know, that's exactly yeah. right. Willie Nelson. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now let's dip into the old Blind Handy Man mailbag and get our host, Tom Houston, to read a couple of letters from you listeners out there in Internet land.
Thank you so much, Philip. I appreciate that fine introduction you gave me there, boy.
Get out of here.
Okay. Jerry Mack writes, I have to replace the porch light because the insides have just plain worn and rusted out.
All right.
I've tried to get an electrician, but apparently the job's too small for them to come waste their time.
Yep.
Books always tell you that if you don't know what you're doing when it comes to electricity, et cetera,
yeah.
how would I go about replacing this porch light, Jerry? Tell him, guys.
Cut the breaker off first.
That's the first thing I would do.
Boy, that's the truth.
Cut the breaker. Figure out which breaker it's on first. I mean, if you have to... If you have to, the way to do, if you can get it to come on at all, of course, I've told this story 1,000 times. We had noise in the modulation monitor at the radio station one time. And so I went down there at 2:00 in the morning, told the night guy to go get a cup of coffee at the pharmacy or go to town or just get out of my hair for an hour. I just turned every breaker off in the building and turned them all on until I found out where the noise was. And if all else fails, tell all your sighted people to leave and just turn every breaker in the house off. Don't open the refrigerator after you do it. But, you know, until you figure out what breaker that thing's on, and then
that's one sure way.
Find this screen.
You don't want to just flip the light switch, that's for sure.
Yeah. You can.
But don't take that chance.
I probably wouldn't. I'd probably try to figure out what breaker it was on.
Well, I know Gordon replaced my front porch light when he was down the last time.
Yeah.
And I think that's all he did was turn the porch light on.
Well, that's all right if it's wired up right.
Yeah.
And in that trailer it probably was, because they probably got an electrician who does nothing but that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's fairly new.
But if this is an older house and you want to replace it, you don't have any idea.
Yeah, you don't have a clue.
He may have wired, of course, you know, he could have cut the negative side off, and the positive side may be on, and you may make the circuit to the negative side. Yeah. You don't know, you know, or the ground, rather.
And you never know about these circuits, because that's like in the house that I'm living in now. We have a washroom there with the washing machine and dryer and all that, and that light that's I've replaced that light in there, the fluorescent light on the ceiling now, yeah. But you know, I've never found a breaker that will turn that light off ever. So when I did it, I did, you know, just what Phil was talking about. I turned off everything, the main breaker to the whole house. Because I've never, to this day, found a breaker that damn light was on.
Probably a wise thing, too.
Just did it all, man.
Oh,
and replaced it,
I know something about that, but I can't remember what.
Yeah.
No, I do. I know there's something I know about that.
Hidden,
but I cannot think what it is.
Agenda there, huh?
Yeah, I can't think what it is and why that's like that. There is... I'll have to think about it. Anyway, there's some reason. That's a long story.
But if you're not sure, just turn off everything.
Sure, if you're blind, what do you care?
I've done
just
it
turn them all
before,
off. I have too. And turn them all off and find the screws, because there's a box behind this thing. It's got the screw on each side that holds that thing in. Take it off. Hook your new one up. Don't worry about how the wires are. before you screw it on the box, kick it on, make sure it works, and, you know, it's a pretty simple little job, don't you think, Dog?
Well, yeah.
I've got a reply here from the list.
Okay, all right, go.
And it after we turn the power off now, he says, check out what you need to get, as in mounting hardware. Most are only two wires, so it's hard to get it wrong. And mine only had two wires, a little black wire and a little white wire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so. If you've got someone around, they can tell you what color they are. You can mark the wires with a bread tie. They work great for this. Most will have wire nuts, and they just twist off, and mine had wire nuts. Once you've got it down, take it to the hardware store and say, I need something like this or better than this or what will fit. Yeah. And they can also tell you what wire goes where, so you can mark it there, too. Put the wires where they go, mount the light, turn it on, and see if it works.
And it, chances are it will, but if you got somebody that'll drive you to the hardware store, they can tell you white from black.
Well, sure.
But if it doesn't really matter. I mean, it doesn't really, if it's just two wires, it doesn't make any
difference. Yeah, on a deal like that.
Don't worry about it. It's not going to make any difference.
And all you're going to need to do this job, folks, is a screwdriver, a flat or Phillips, some pliers, and something to stand on if it's up high.
And lots of nerve. and that's it for, you know, yes, a novice can do it. I bet there have been 50 posts on the list. Yes, a novice can do it. Or can a novice do this?
Yes, that's why I took that off the list.
Sure you can. Do it and write us and let us know how it went, and we'll have you as a guest on. You can tell us about it.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay, moving right along here. It says, hi, folks. I'm wondering if any of you have a home security system installed. I know that there are many companies offering monitoring systems at a monthly fee or anywhere between $35 and $55. I believe that my area is very safe, and therefore I do not need a 24-hour monitoring system. What I need is a simple alarm system that would generate enough noise to alert my neighbors to a potential danger to my house when I'm out of town for a few days or weeks. I remember reading about such systems, either on this list or on another one a long time ago. I can't seem to remember. If any of you has any idea or suggestions, I would extremely appreciate it. Cheers. Abraham.
I don't know much about both the buildings I've built. I've had hardwired for an alarm system when I built the building. I guess they could retro your house for an alarm system if somebody wanted to, couldn't they?
Yeah, I've heard you can buy them at Radio Shack and just in different places. And
just put them on the door?
Shack, but and just put them in your house, and they will detect, like, motion and things and have a horn or...
Do you want the... It depends on if you want the windows, because I bet you can buy things for individual doors that will scream like a...
Oh, yeah, I bet you can, too, yeah.
Doors open if you don't.
And I've heard now they have wireless sensors that you can put on your windows and things, and it'll break the beam if someone opens the window, so...
Call somebody. Call an extra. Spend how much money you want to spend. Call a guy, but you don't have to have... Mine is set up... The alarm system belongs to me, and I don't have to have it monitored, but I do have it monitored. Because I live back in the woods, and it mine needs to be monitored.
If you didn't have it monitored, would it do like a siren or some type of audible alarm?
Oh man! Oh, you've heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll drive you crazy. What it won't do is call the police. It won't call the alarm company
The alarm company will definitely call you.
That's right.
You're the one in the house.
If you've subscribed to the service.
Yeah, if you subscribe to the service. But if you can have it put in and not subscribe to the service, then it'll just make a noise if that's all you want it to do.
Uh-huh.
But I'm betting you that you could, if you're online, this came online. So there'd be some guy online, someplace online that would sell you one for each door and sensors that would sell you a whole system that you could put in yourself probably. That would be the cheapest way to go, I bet you.
You need one of them there free estimates.
That's it.
That's what you need.
Free estimates.
Well, free estimates can run into money sometimes.
I guarantee.
What a deal that would be.
I've got a plumbing question here.
All right, we'll see if we can.
Okay, here's how. This guy says he has some sink faucets that he hadn't turned on in about 4 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how could I go about getting them unfrozen? They're in a workshop building.
Liquid wrench, maybe? Run a little bit of it down in the... The stem of the faucet.
I guess.
WD, I guess the old standby or
WD-40
some type of oil.
Probably do fine if you
sit a while.
How are you going to turn them? You can't turn them, the handle, you just can't just turn it, huh?
Must be frozen.
Now
like
you can.
Big time.
You know what I'd do? I'd take a small small hammer and just and tap lightly on the top of the faucet. Just as in, like that.
That'd be worth
it. On the top of the faucet as you're turning it and see if you couldn't. I bet it'd probably come loose, turn and be in, and move it back and forth a couple times to get all it rust, let the water run, probably be just fine. But just lightly tap on the top, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that'd be worth a try. Sure it would. And then you could always break out the oil later if you had to.
I don't see why that wouldn't work.
And you could take the stem out and put some oil on that stem if you wanted to. Once you got it loose, go cut the water off before you do that, because if you don't and take it apart, it'll
then
come in
you
your
got
face.
A problem. Yeah, a big problem.
It'll be in your toe. Charlie, let me tell you a quick story. I was talking to these people that I know. This guy that sells electrical supplies. He's telling me he and Charlie Myers were over fixing the sink. Their sink was stopped up, and they were trying to unstop the sink. So they took the trap off, and they had a bucket down there, and somebody said, well, man, the bucket under the sink's getting full, so somebody just reached under the sink and poured it down the drain.
Oh, man.
So we're not the only ones that do dumb things.
Those things, I guess, just
poured it down the drain. Of course, the trap was gone. It's all over the floor, and so things like that.
Those things just happen.
Those things just do happen. Do I hear music?
Yes.
I hear music, and there's no one there.
And chainsaws. Right.
Chainsaws. I forgot to tell you, they're cutting up wood. We've got a big oak tree that they had cut down. We had a lightning hit. You all knew about that a year or so ago. Maybe, I don't know if this is the first lightning hit or the second one. Anyway, big, great big oak tree, probably 80-foot oak tree that they took down and they just left behind the fence. So John and Chris, my brother-in-law and his friend Chris Copenhaver, have taken a section of the fence, put the dogs in the house, taken a section of the fence down, and they got a 22-inch chainsaw on there out cutting up that wood. We're going to have two cords of firewood. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we're going to fix and have it. So if any of you need any firewood, just back your trailer up here. You're welcome to it.
Yeah.
Victor Govea. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce a man's name. Is our guest from Canada, and he'll be on in just a minute with more of our show called Blind Handyman. The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as blind like me is concerned, it's we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Hi, my name's Donna. And for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love
to a
is blind.
Place, but, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, @blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind@blindlikeme.com. We'll be right back.
are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, as we said, we have some sound effects going on out front. The sound of chainsaws. Can you hear that? I can barely hear that through my headphones. We're way off at the other end of the building, and they're out there chopping up this massive 80-foot oak tree. So we're going to have lots of firewood to burn. I don't really need any, but there's several people around here got fireplaces, and so they're going to need them. Victor Govea, how are you, sir?
Not too bad. How are you, sir?
Pronounce your last name one more time for me.
It's Govea.
Govea. I got it right.
All right. Good
shot. You got it perfectly right.
Well, say hi to Don Shaw. He's here with us.
Hello, Don Shaw.
And, hello, Victor.
And is Mr. Patterson with us?
Mr. Patterson did not make it today.
Oh.
We're doing on a different day. We usually do on Tuesday.
Is that right?
And we decided to do it on Monday today because we had a little problem we had tomorrow. Somebody had something to do, so we decided to do it on Monday. And he forgot. You know how those old people are.
Well, and here I thought you just did it to trip him up.
No. would we do that? In a heartbeat, wouldn't we? Huh?
Well,
in a heartbeat. He didn't make it today, and Houston has stepped out of the room, but he'll be back in just a second to say hi to you.
Well, hi, Victor. I haven't stepped out yet.
Oh, he hadn't gone yet. There he is.
Good to have you with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's an honor, actually.
Well, wonderful.
Well, it's not that big an honor, trust me.
Well, it is to me. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and it's not every day you become a part of history here.
A part of history?
A part of history.
Well, I guess that's true.
If Pat was with us, he could verify this with me, but
yeah, he's
let's be honest, you're the only blind handyman show ever.
Oh, yeah, you'll be in the Internet Archive somewhere forever.
That's right.
For the rest of your life, as long as you live and don't live, whether you live or not.
For as long as you live, you'll be known in the annals of history as the only host or hosts
of the Blind Handyman Show.
Of the Blind Handyman Show.
And you'll be the only guest we ever had on show 105.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go.
So, yeah, when you think about it, you got generations from now, people have listened. I don't know if they'll have, surely they'll have things to fix then. I don't know what the situation will be. Of course, I think we're looking at the last generation of blind people, so maybe, who knows.
Well, but anyway. From your lips to God's ears, eh?
Yeah, I think so. I think the science is going to overcome most things that cause blindness, unless you have an accident like poor Dale Campbell had or something like that.
But anyway, then there will be historians somewhere down the line in 100 years or so that will want to listen to these shows just to see how these blind folks were.
Yeah, how we did
survive.
How we did things in 2004 and 2005 and all.
Well, you know, my wife listened to you guys on, because my brother was kind enough to put all of the archived shows on CD for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a project now.
And, well, he loves me to death, you know.
Yeah.
And she was listening to you, and she actually said, and this is an actual quote, he's the Bob Vila of the blind community.
She's right.
Bob Vila of the blind community.
The Bob Vila of the blind. That's good. Tell her thank
that's
you.
That's a good one. Yeah.
We appreciate that. I'll have to send her some flowers or something. That's good.
Yeah.
Bob Vila of the blind community. I never had thought about that. Well, what you're currently staying home, aren't you? You're not working anymore.
Well, I work from home on a freelance basis.
On a freelance basis. What
Very
did you
good.
Do before you lost your eyesight?
I was managing a nursing home. I was a general manager.
Really?
/ residential manager, yeah.
Of a nursing home.
Right.
Where old people.
Well, that's what.
Right, so, where I was watching everyone else go blind.
So you're kind of right at home with all us old people. So you were watching other people go blind. You had seen that happen many times, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Yeah, and then you gradually lost your eyesight.
I wouldn't say it was gradually. It went
really?
from having sight to within not having sight in a relative matter of 6 months.
And like really good sight, are we talking about?
No, I wouldn't say really good sight. I mean, I had what we refer to up here as Coke bottle glasses.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. My son has Coke.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've had those all my life since the age of two when I had 4 operations in each eye.
Cataract?
I don't know what it was. My mom never said.
That's one reason for the thicker glasses back before they could transplant lenses.
And since then, I've had to use glasses, and then about 2.5 years ago, the day after I married my wife.
Hello?
Hello? Man, Tom, you just made it back in time.
Hello?
Yeah, what happened?
Oh, I don't know. Something cut out on us.
Something dropped out there for just a second.
That was strange.
The day after you married your wife.
I started going blind.
See, that's...
I kid her all the time.
Man.
I kid her all the time. I tell her, marrying you makes a man go blind.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I remember them telling me as a child, if I did certain things, that I could lose.
That you could lose your eyes. You could go blind.
You could go blind. I always,
You know, I think that's a little too much information.
I always just tell folks, you know, I just wouldn't listen, that stupid little blind boy that I am. But anyway, you were managing nursing. I mean, with 6 months, that isn't gradual, is it?
Well, some people say it isn't. I've heard people tell me they've lost, it took them 10 years to lose their sight.
A lot of folks, gradual, you know.
We've talked to many that
are losing, just gradually losing.
I've heard of the macular degeneration and then the glaucoma and stuff like that taken away, but mine was fairly rapid.
Now, this has been how long ago? Not that long, really.
2.5 years.
2.5 years. So you're new to this blindness stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you seem to have adapted well. You, what did you say? The neighborhood you grew up in, you had to learn to adapt.
Take criticisms and learn to take it well.
Learn to take it well. Well, are you getting into handyman stuff? Are you learning?
I kind of have to. I've got a lazy brother-in-law who lives with us.
Does he live with you?
He lives with us, and he doesn't do a lick of things.
Really?
So I'm the one who has to pretty much take it all up.
Now, you're kidding about your brother-in-law. Surely he does something.
Yeah, he sleeps.
And that's about it, huh?
What a deal.
This is not the one that put the things on CD for you, is it?
No. That was my actual brother.
That was your actual brother that did that for you.
Okay. He doesn't live with us. No, this is your wife's brother.
Your wife's brother lives with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you have to end up fixing everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for you. That's good.
Good practice.
You'll find that your garbage disposal will go out just as often as a sighted guy's. It's the funniest damn thing. I don't know how that
pretty much. And if I had a garbage disposal, I'm sure it'd go out too, yeah.
You don't have one?
Okay. No, I don't.
Well, you were telling us about, what were you telling Shaw about trying to drill?
That's the problem I'm having. Now, I know I told you this before, but I don't think I told everyone else.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm not a relatively light person.
Yeah.
So I've got legs on my bed that I need to shore up.
Yeah.
And I thought the best way to do that is to get some 4x4 posts, cut it up into 6-inch lengths, which is the length of the legs that I have on my bed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And drill a 1-inch hole through the middle of it, lengthwise.
Whoa.
And I can insert the legs through the bed, or through the posts, rather.
Yeah.
And that'll hold the legs in place so they don't bend back and forth. And then I can just tie everything together with 1x4 runners.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a pretty good size hole to...
That's a big hole to drill. This is going to be 6 inches long, and you're going to drill it an inch big around.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
Well?
And that's the problem I'm having. See, my drill press, the total clearance is about a foot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm kind of lucky that my drill press can swing around.
Yeah.
I'm lucky in that regard. But I only get an inch of clearance when I drill through anything. And the best part about it is that, I mean, I've got a drill press that's an 18-speed drill press. So I'm kind of lucky in that regard.
But, okay. Now, you can't, on the drill press, the table that the thing sits on that you're going to drill, you can't move it up and down?
The table itself, no.
It's not movable.
You mean the platform?
The platform, yeah.
Right, yeah, it is up. It is movable up and down, but it's at the boat. See, at the bottom of the, it's at the bottom of the press already.
So you have no more room to.
So you got no more room to move.
I've got no more room to move.
And you have between the chuck and the plate, you have about a 12-inch clearance.
A little less.
A little less.
A little less.
And the,
not even that, because you've got to take the drill bit into account, which is about, I'd say, almost 6 inches in length.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Now, do you have a one-inch drill bit, or you're using an expansion bit?
It's an actual one-inch spade bit.
It's a one-inch bit, and it gets smaller, and it will fit in your chuck.
It fits in my chuck, yeah.
But your clearance is not big enough.
It's not big enough.
Okay. How did you cut the 4x4?
It was, I had it professionally cut.
You had it
Home
cut?
Well, Home Depot offers the cutting service, as you
And mean. So you bought a 4x4, and they cut it in 6-inch length?
They cut it in 6-inch length.
Okay, here is what I would do. I would take those 6-inch lengths back and ask them to cut them into 3-inch lengths.
You know, I thought about that.
And then I would drill down through the two, and then I would glue those suckers back together. Exactly. And that glue, the glue will be stronger than the wood. You use the right kind of wood glue, it'll be stronger than the wood. Then I'd glue them back together and then try this. So once you do this, then you're going to tie it all together with a 2x4 frame. Or a 4x4 frame.
No, 1x4.
1x4. 1x4 frame.
Right.
Around the edges or the outside of these legs.
Right, with using brackets. Right.
Victor, I hate to ask this, but how do you need this? I mean, good Lord.
It is something I need, yes.
Well, it's something, good heavens.
It is something I need.
You might think about Weight Watchers. Good Lord.
You know, I thought about that, but it's more expensive to do them than it is to shore up the bed.
Yeah. That's a good idea, though, about cutting the 4x's in half.
And so
and
Mama...
going that route with the glue.
Mama must be on the large side also, or you wouldn't need... I mean, how big, you know, good God.
Well, she wasn't until my last sister was born.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she was actually relatively light. And then she had my sister, and she just ballooned up. Not that much, though. She weighed, I think in her prime, about 150.
Now, I'm talking about your wife, who sleeps in that bed with you.
My wife is the shortest little thing you've ever seen.
Is that right? She doesn't need all... Uh-huh. She doesn't... You need the big bed, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cutting them in two is the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Unless you bring them to Texas, my plate on my drill press will go almost to the floor. I mean, I'd have 3 feet between the chuck and the thing.
Yeah, yours is a floor model stand drill press, and your plate will go down a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And how far can you drill?
Well, that'd be it. You couldn't drill any further than the travel of the drill, which would be about a foot.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I'm saying you couldn't drill any further deeper than the travel of the drill, which would only be about a foot.
So you can travel a foot then?
Yeah, with my drill press, you can.
Okay, mine, I think we only have about 2 inches.
Yours is sitting on a table?
It's on a table.
A tabletop model. Right. Well, that clears a lot up right there.
And the only thing you can do is have those blocks cut into and then glue them back together, or drywall scratch. Just glue them back together. Glue them back together and put them in a good clamp, leave them for 2 or 3 days, and I guarantee you.
Oh, man, some good wood glue. That'd
last forever. And then make you a little frame, and that bed'll. Have you ever thought about just taking the legs off and setting the bed on some 4x4s, or setting it on the floor, or just...
Yeah, I thought about that. Then, you know what? It wouldn't look all that pretty.
Set it on some bricks, or set it on some...
Bricks will scratch the hardwood.
I guess that's true.
Put
a little piece of carpet in there.
With the 4x4s, you can just sand them down with a good-sized grit of sandpaper, and then they'll be nice and smooth, and you won't get any scratches.
You must have done some handyman work when you could see.
Oh, yeah, a ton of it. Before, when I could see, I was doing everything. I did my, I refurbished my backyard. I set down the patio stones in the house I was living before I met my wife.
So you knew a lot about this handyman stuff before that you lost your eyesight.
Oh, yeah.
That helped.
I mean, I was reading everything from how-to manuals to how to... plumb and do everything.
So that helps a whole lot, doesn't it? Yeah.
It did.
And you could certainly do a lot of the same stuff, like putting down the stones and all that. You could do, again, right now.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my next project is to level off my front yard, which is sad to say, not as easy to do.
Now, you're talking about some work there. Man, I've done that dirt work before. And
you'll lose a little weight doing that.
Yeah, that's
you,
tough going
you
there,
may not
now.
Need that bed and you get through that, big boy.
That's rough.
Well, you know, it's something I got to do. And if I don't, you know the old axiom, you never know who will.
Well, that's true. I suppose that's true. But it's pretty cold up there where you are. So you got snow on the ground right now, don't you?
No, actually, it melted on Thursday when we had an 18-degree weather, which is I think in the 40s down there, isn't it?
Right here today, it's probably 53, 55 right now. The sun's out, pretty day right here.
Day.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice.
So, I mean, your 40s would be our 18, which is what we had on Thursday. We had a relatively warm day, which is completely, we broke some records. We definitely broke some records.
And your snow melted and went away, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Right. I was kind of happy about that, but
yeah.
I didn't get to use my snowblower.
You didn't?
I didn't. I was listening quite earnestly to...
Dave did a good...
Excuse me, Dave's description last week.
Yeah, that
David
was great.
Well, I had never used one, never seen one.
We've never seen a snowblower.
We don't have them down here. You know, we don't even know what they are down in Texas. So.
Well, you know, didn't North Texas get some snow just last week?
Oh, North Texas. North Texas gets snow all the time.
God, South Texas got snow a few weeks ago.
It sure did.
That was just amazing,
first
too.
First time in
Galveston,
80
Texas,
years, I believe they said.
But you don't realize that if you left Beaumont at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you started driving across Texas, and you were driving at 6 o'clock that night when the sun went down, you still wouldn't be to El Paso.
Is that right?
That's how big. Texas is big.
Really I've never seen Texas.
It's a massive. I mean, it's 3.5 hours from here to Dallas.
3.5 hours from Lufkin?
Yep.
Wow.
It's 3.5 hours from here to Dallas, and you could drive from Boston to the tip of Maine in 3.5 hours.
Is that right?
Well, sure you could. Little bitty states up there, they couldn't even be states. They didn't even consider them states. Hell, we'll show you
a state, by God.
We got a state here, buddy boy. Lone Star Beer and Bob Wills. I'm sorry, I broke into the song there. But, yeah, we got a state here, buddy. Yeah, so it's in North Texas, it's a completely, there are three different climes in Texas. There's East Texas. East Texas, Central Texas, and West Texas. And if you start across the state, you go through three different types of zone. You get out of pine trees into cedar trees, and then you get into a desert out in West Texas.
Yeah, desert-type land.
So there's all kind of, you know, you can live anywhere up in the mountains, or you can live in the cold country, or you can live by the sea in Texas. It is a big
different
apparatus.
Temperatures
here.
And humidity. Some places have
dry
air.
Wow, must be hard to plan for in terms of building, eh?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you don't know what you're going to get from 1 mile to the other.
No, you wouldn't.
It just changes.
You start, like, we went from Lufkin to out to West Texas, out to way west, Pecos and Lajitas and way west Texas. And you just go through three different distinct, and then, of course, the Rio Grande Valley is a completely different thing. And Amarillo and the Panhandle is more like Kansas than it is Lufkin.
Right.
You know, it's up. They say there's nothing between Dallas and Kansas but a barbed wire fence.
So where are you in relation to the Alamo?
We are north to the Alamo. Well, San Antonio, Austin is just south of the center of the state of Texas.
Okay.
San Antonio is 80 miles south of Austin. So San Antonio is south of the center of Texas. We are, if you drew a line east, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, if you drew a line east of about the center of Texas, you'd go right through Lufkin.
Right.
So we're at about the center level, but very much east. We're about 40, 50 miles from the border of Louisiana.
Yeah, way east.
We're way east, about 50 miles from the Louisiana border.
Oh, okay.
We're way over in East Texas, about 120 miles north of the center of the city of Houston.
Right.
Plus to the oldest town in Texas.
Yeah, which is Nacogdoches. You can be to the airport, the big airport in North Houston, in an hour and a half if you keep moving.
If Tom's driving.
If Tom's driving and we don't stop at Seven Oaks to buy beer on the way down there, which we probably will. There's not much question about that. We probably will.
Sure.
Let's see. You called me Saturday and said you had something else you wanted to touch on. What was that?
Well, yeah, changing the fuse on microwave. You know, there's a blind-friendly project, and I don't think in all 99 shows, you guys have talked about that.
We haven't.
I don't either.
What blew it, though? Why did it blow?
Why did it? You know, I can't say. Occasionally, I think it'll blow if the exhaust is being blocked, the air vents.
Well, sure.
If they're being blocked, there's nothing to clear that out of there. Occasionally, the fuse will blow there. If you get a power surge, occasionally, I think it'll blow. You know, it all depends. But it's the most blind-friendly project I could ever think of. I mean, most microwaves, they come with a little panel that you can unscrew off either with a Phillips screwdriver or a Robertson screwdriver.
Yeah.
And you just feel in there for a little flat... I'm sorry, I just drew a blank there. A cylindrical fuse.
Uh-huh.
And you pull that puppy out, and then just you take it to the... hardware store or Peyton Tile place or wherever you want to go, and they'll give you one exactly the same specification. You put it back, and then you just screw that plate back in. Now, if you have a different microwave like the one I have, I mean, on my microwave, you actually have to take off the whole one side of the microwave and unscrew that and then feel around for it. I mean, it's the most god-awful mess I've ever seen of circuitry and stuff in there.
Does your microwave plug in?
Was it does plug in.
Okay, so you unplugged it first, and then you did all this fooling around, right?
Well, you know what?
What?
I didn't know.
You didn't unplug it.
It slipped my mind to unplug it, and I think I should warn everyone that everyone should at least unplug the power bar before they touch anywhere inside that.
Did you get a little shock?
Yeah.
Did you
a
get
a little? Yeah.
A little shock.
I bet you.
Little coverage there.
That was fun. That was fun, though.
Well, it warned you. Got a little warning there, Victor. You need to.
Just a little bit, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, how often does this fuse blow in your microwave? You may have a problem.
It's one of those things that I think I should get a new microwave.
You might, maybe should. Is this a standalone, sit on the counter kind of a microwave or not?
Yeah, it is. Oh. Yeah, it's not that hard to replace. Yeah. You just go to Sears.
And so you think you set something on the vent and maybe the
that's
air,
what I'm thinking.
Air
I'm
got
thinking,
blocked.
I'm thinking it's just there's just so much dust in there that I think the fuse is blowing a little more than it should.
Mine has a charcoal filter in it of some kind that you're supposed to change. I never have, but it says. The instruction said it was there. That was 12 years ago. I guess I
really
think about changing that. Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever messed around inside there?
I never have. It just never has. It always works when I put my coffee in it in the morning to heat it up from yesterday's coffee. Every morning, first thing I do is pour a cup of yesterday's coffee, heat it in the microwave, go to my computer and check my email while I'm making new coffee. That's my routine, and it heats it up every morning, so I just never have, why fix it if it ain't broke? If
it's, well, yeah.
That's good for everything except your marriage. I'm sorry, I didn't. Wow. All right, sir. Yeah. Well, we'll let you go in the kitchen and make sure your microwave's working.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch, sir.
Definitely a pleasure.
Good talking with you.
We thank you. This will be on this weekend, and we guess you got you'll get to hear it, won't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, sir. Okay. If you don't let us know, we'll send you one.
Okay, great.
Victor Gouveia from where part of Canada are you in? What
Toronto,
part?
Ontario, Canada.
Toronto, right. Ontario, Canada. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Victor.
Thank you, sir.
Back with more Blind Handyman in just a minute.
My name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
Love
to a warmer place.
Love is blind.
But,
the audio magazine for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, it's we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right. Well, you know, Victor was right. In 104 shows past, we hadn't talked about changing a microwave fuse.
I've never changed one.
That
one
was
of the reasons.
Good. Good yeah. Little, sounds like it's really blind friendly, and one of those things that you don't think about unless you had the problem.
I just don't understand, because fuses don't blow just to be blowing. Fuses are protection, and if you blow a fuse, there's a reason that fuse blew. And so
there should be a reason. But we had bought a TV one time from this garage sale. It was really cheap, like I'm talking a few dollars. So I said, well, it's worth gambling with. It was just a little, like a 13-inch little color TV.
Uh-huh.
And bought it, and I brought it home and turned it on, and nada, zilch, nothing, nada.
Uh-huh.
I said, man, you know, paid a few dollars for this, what the hell? Don't have anything to lose. I'm going to take it apart and kind of look at it. And sure enough, I guess since it was a little small TV, it had a fuse in it.
Uh-huh.
And then damned if this fuse wasn't burned out, and since paid little for it, replaced it. Put it back together, and it came on and worked like for years after that.
Of course, that could have been
no idea what.
Could have been a power surge.
Yeah, what blew the fuse to start with. But
could have been.
Could have been a little power surge, and they said, oh, to heck with it. We don't know how to fix it. We'll just sell it in the garage sale. We've had it a long time. We don't want to fix it.
That very well could have been, because it was one of these little travel TVs, and someone could have had it in a motorhome that probably had a power surge.
And just decided they didn't want to fool with fixing it, and so you got a TV.
Yeah.
Cheap TV.
Yeah. And well, what a deal.
What a deal.
I've got a deal I want to talk about a little bit today.
All right.
Like Victor was saying, we hadn't done changing a fuse in all these shows. Well, I'll tell you another thing. In all of my years, which are getting to be considerable now.
Yeah.
I saw a problem.
Snapper.
Yeah. Saw a problem come up the other night that I had never seen before in my life.
What was it, sir? What was it?
And, you know, it just seems like on the list or on the show, either way, it seems like we can't go for a real long time without talking about toilet problems.
Well, that's true. everybody has one, and you've got to have them.
And the other night, I walk in the bathroom, and the water was running in the back of the toilet real slow.
Which bathroom?
The front bathroom.
Okay.
I said, this is kind of strange. Boy, the city of Lufkin must be having a water problem again. Yeah. I bet we have low water pressure here. And reached over and turned on the sink. And, man, the water was coming out like big time. Really good water pressure.
All right.
So I said, whoa, this is not good. And I took off the top of the tank and kind of looked around in there a little bit. Felt around in there, and sure enough, the water level, of course, was at the bottom because it was trying to fill, but there was just very, very little water coming out. I said, well, there's something really wrong here. So what I did was I shut the water off and turned it back on, just trying things, just for the hell of it, to see what was going to happen. And,
yeah.
Of course, it didn't. I didn't think it would, and
made
it didn't
no
make
difference.
Any difference.
Made no difference, yeah.
So I said, well, I'm just going to shut the water off, and I did at the valve there. And we have the type of toilet that you've seen, the float that is horizontal across the back, that has the ball on one end and the arm. And
yes.
The water level raises it up, and it stops the water from coming in.
Raises the ball.
Yeah, raises the ball.
The ball floats above the water. Yes,
yeah.
That's the most common kind.
Except ours is the opposite one. Now, ours runs vertically up and down in the tank.
I've seen those.
And the ball floats, or the little gizmo floats to the top and stops, which is the same kind of deal.
So you've changed it.
It actually was changed when we got there.
Okay, so Houston had it changed.
Houston, at some point, must have changed it.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, this thing has a filler hose that runs between it and the little pipe that sticks up in the middle of the tank in the back of the toilet that the water is supposed to run out of. And that's what the water wasn't really coming through.
Filler hose got stopped.
I said, well, the filler hose is probably stopped up. Took off the filler hose, checked it, and it was clear. Clear as could be. So I said, this is kind of strange. So I had some thin wire in the old tool room there, you know, the trusty standby.
Yep.
Kind of about, I'd say, the size of a pipe cleaner, maybe a little bit thinner. Took that and ran up into, not through the hose, because I knew the hose was clear, but the part that the hose connected onto in the center of this, took the wire and ran it through there to make sure it was clear.
Yep.
And it seemed like it was. So I put the hose back on, turned back on the water. Not a zilch, nothing. No water coming out.
Huh.
So I said, damn.
You got me. You got me here.
Really strange now. So I said, well, back to square one. I shut the water back off. I got a coffee can to put underneath where the hose runs into the tank.
Yep.
And I took the filler hose off at that point, and ran the water that was a little bit of water that was in the tank out into the coffee can. Then I went to the tool room and I got this big, long, humongous drill bit that I've got that's probably, oh God, it's probably a foot long or so, 14 inches long maybe. And I took this drill bit that was thin. It's a little small drill bit.
Mm-hmm.
I ran it up in that center water filler thing from the bottom. I said, well, maybe the clog is there. Ran it up into there and just ran it around. You know, didn't get anything out. And then I put back on the water filler hose again, turned back on the water. Same damn thing again. Nothing. I mean, the water would not come through there.
Goodness.
Well, it has to be the filler hose, and that's all it
could
be.
Well, that's it for the night. Well, no, one other thing I did after that, I took the filler hose back off again, and I tested it in a coffee can, and it was fine.
It was
water was coming out strong. So I said, to hell with it. I'm just going to shut it down for the night. Went to our favorite hardware store here, Abney & Sons, the next day and bought the whole new gizmo, the whole new filler thing, float, everything, the whole new works. Brought it home, took the old one out, put the new one in, tightened it up, put the filler hose on, turned on the water, and bingo.
Worked fine.
Perfect.
Huh.
So to this day, I still know. The thing I can figure is something, some little piece of trash or something got up in that thing somewhere that I couldn't get to.
That you couldn't have to be. That'd be the only thing it could be.
I don't know what else. I've never seen the problem before.
But it was time to probably change the way. Did you get a new flush valve? Did you get a new flapper valve?
I got everything. The whole new
one. So it was probably getting close to time.
But why? It worked fine, and then just all at once, this problem came up. There was no warning, no nothing. It just went from working perfect to the water just wasn't.
Well, you got a piece of trash up in the water. That's the only, that is the only explanation.
It's a strange deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it works fine now, huh?
Works fine with the new one.
Well, that's good.
Well, and you spent, that thing cost...
the whole big $10.
That's what I was going to say, $9.95. A plumber would have charged you $78.50 to come out and find that problem for you, and he would have done the same thing you did.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He would have charged you a lot of money to do it.
Because I doubt if he would have found the clog in there either, because, man, I had the damn thing all apart. I mean, totally all the hoses off. You know, everything, and that's still...
Well, the only other thing you could have done is if you'd had an air compressor, you could have blown some air through
it. Well, yeah, if I'd had an air compressor.
Which is what I would have done, is blown some air through it, make sure that it would
You know, I thought about, and we've talked about this on the show before, but I thought about the thing you screw onto the end of the water hose that expands when you turn the water on.
I have a couple of those.
Take it out into the backyard, put that in, which I could have, that would have fit in the bottom, in the filler part. I would have put that
in
there.
Just blown it out with
just
water.
Just turned on the water and just let it rip.
That
might have
worked.
Might have worked, but it was probably time for a new one, so.
So we got a new one now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
That'll be nice.
It's strange. Strange deal, man. Plumbing is just...
Plumbing is not what I like to do.
I'm a big fan of plumbing.
I almost don't do it anymore. I almost won't mess with plumbing projects.
You never know what you'll run into.
Oh, you don't. Especially in an older house. And, you know, I don't have an older house, but I just don't like to... I don't know. I don't know. I have bulbs in every light now, by the way. When you get ready to go home... Every light on the house has bulbs in it.
All right.
So we can light up.
Even the outside lights.
You bet. All the outside lights. Tiffany put new bulbs in all the outside lights yesterday.
All right. What a deal.
Yesterday, I bought some of those good bulbs from Leonard at Elliott Electric in Lufkin, Texas. All right, guys. We've missed old Don, but he's going to have his tool. We're going to do tool time with Don next week.
Next week.
Starting next week. And he says he'll be here next week. He's got roofers out there today. And. We missed him, but his chair is remaining. A little statue of Don.
Mark Christie is not sitting in his chair yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don Shaw. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Very much. Tom Houston.
You
always,
are certainly welcome, big
always
guy.
Good to have you read the old mailbag,
nice
Tommy.
To be here, Bob Craig.
Listen, we'll do it again next week. Thank you, Victor Govea, for being our guest. We'll see you again next week. Write us on the list. Come join the list at blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That's
come
right.
join the old list. We'd love to have you. Phil Parsi said the blind man should pick up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.